welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you are new to our channel, subscribe, drop this video a like, and get in the comment section down below your thoughts on our 1-1 draw with Crystal Palace. Before we start, I've got to say, what Villa put on before that game was fantastic. I mean, I love a tifo. I love looking at sort of like AC Milan and all that lot when they do those tifos and it all drapes down, and it's class, man. And today with the flags and the cup coming down on the hot end, I just thought it looked the real deal. And you know, I just love to see us do that more often than not. You know, it's great to remember. And we've had Spinksy on the channel a couple of months ago, and you know, him telling the tale. And you know, it's been 40 years and 40 years of something that we achieved, which not many English clubs have achieved, and it should be cherished. And I don't care whether we go on about it as much as what we do. I feel like we should go on about it more and more. But, you know, I've got the programme here, and, you know, it's a replica image of what the programme was for the final. And, of course, Justin's got it framed, signed in a... But yeah, it's just a nice
ticket
all round. It was class, weren't it, Justin?
Yeah, brilliant, mate. I mean, I love my history. I love Villa's history. I love celebrating it. You know, we get it thrown at us, all history FC, all this crap. It's absolute, you know, crap. It is. It's ridiculous. You know, the best thing a club side can win in European football is the European Cup. And not only is that the best thing you can win, but we won it when you had to be champions to get in it. So the achievement is phenomenal. And the fact that 40 years later, we're still celebrating it, I think, you know, the kids... I mean, I went down yesterday to see all of them. They were at Villa Park and touched a sign load of things. And, you know, they're getting on a bit now. They are, you know, and it's a shame to see them like that. But, you know, they still love it. They live and breathe it. And I spoke to Dennis Mortar, to Gordon Cowans, who actually watches the pod.
Tell the viewers the story.
So I was queuing up. So we got to Villa Park and you queue up to get into the where they do the kids' fun zone. And then you got in, and then you queued up, and then there was in like there was unlocked tables, so all next to each other. So you just basically followed along, got your autographs off everybody. And I came to Gordon Cowans, and I was talking to him, and he looked up and he said, "How's the podcast going?" And I said, "Yeah, it's going all right, thanks." And he was sitting next to Nige, who I know obviously quite well, and we had a bit of a chat. So yeah, it's going really well. Do you watch it? He said, "Yeah, yeah, I do. I watch it." He said, "It's good." And then Spinky said, I said to him, "Do you fancy coming on?" And he said, "No, not really. He said, it's not really my thing," which is fair enough. And then Nige chirped in and said, "He does a podcast, Sid." He went, "I know, I've been talking to him about it." So it was amazing. I also spoke to a young kid as well that watches the pod, Leo, who came up to me afterwards and said, "Do you do a podcast?" So say hello to him and his mates because they all subscribe as well. But yeah, what an amazing thing that is, you know. They're great, they're great, and we should celebrate it, and we should shout it from the rooftops, because that's the aim, to do it again, isn't it? That's the ultimate aim, again, to be back there again, Europe, competing with the elite clubs, and we did it once, and I should be shouting about it for the rest of my life, and you know, any young Villa fan just needs to immerse themselves in that history of the club, because we are a fantastic club, and we've got a glittering past, and hopefully a really good future as well. So otherwise, what's the point of supporting your football team if you can't shout from the rooftops?
I think you've got to, you know, when you support a football club, you're proud of everything that they've done. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, you can't just be in the here and now. You have got to look back at certain achievements. You know, I'm reading a book at the minute, and it's a heavy read, this book is, and it goes back, and you know, it goes back to like Pongo wearing and everything that he was doing, and the goals that he was scoring. But you know, I want to you know, have the knowledge and know all of that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
I think
that's fantastic, mate. You got to, you know, I've done it for a long time now. I think as a kid, I used to like looking back at the old teams, because when I was a kid, it was the 80s. So the old teams for me were like the 60s and the 50s. So like the Pongo Wearings and the Stanlins and, you know, things like people like that. So, yeah, but I agree. Immerse yourself in it. You know, it's a community thing as well. So it's great to have the knowledge as well as look forward to what's coming.
Definitely. So I went solo at the start of the week on a match preview predicting lineup, and I've got to say, on my own, I nearly got that team right, didn't I?
Not far off,
but we still got it wrong. So we'll, you know, we've got two games to go to get it
to
right.
To try and get it right.
So, you know, eventually we're going to get one right. But, yeah, so 1-1 with Palace. Team, same as Liverpool, weren't it? You know, and the game as a whole, it was two teams in and around mid-table. And I thought Palace, what I watched today with Palace is you can see the shape of their side and you can see what they're trying to do. Do you know what I mean? And I think sometimes when teams come to Villa Park, you're getting caught on the break and you can't really see what the opposition are doing. And we have a lot of the ball, but credit to Palace today. I thought that I could see the shape of their team, what they were trying to do. You know, I think we did keep Conor Gallagher quiet as well. Zaha was Zaha, wasn't he? But it was just a competitive match, wasn't it? You know, there's some of the challenges that were going in. It was really, really competitive. And yes, I'd have liked to have seen us win, obviously. We had some chances. We had some big chances. I think Danny Ings missed two very, very good chances, which on another day, you'd like to see him took away. I thought Coutinho had a really, really good game. I don't know. It depends what you're trying to look at when you're judging certain players. But I like to look at the all-round game, where they were, what they were doing, where they're looking for the ball. Yes, he was. He was absolutely everywhere for me. And like Ryan said in the fan cam, it'd be good to see, like, you know, where his distance covered, because he was absolutely everywhere. I think looking back on the side now, I think we were a little bit too narrow, weren't we? I felt like the fullbacks looked a little bit leggy. I just feel like the shape and the balance of the team today, I felt like we just didn't have as much width as what I felt like we should have done. Although Luca Dean put that wicked ball in for Ollie Watkins. But, you know, I just felt like the width weren't there, really. I just felt maybe Ings and Watkins were a bit too far apart from each other. You know, that partnership just weren't connecting as much as what it was against sort of like Liverpool and Burnley, you know. So I felt like, it was just difficult for us, weren't it? And we just got a limp towards the end of the season. We just did.
Yeah, I agree. It was a bit of an end of season game feel to it. Like you say, two mid-table teams can't really finish much higher or lower than we're currently sitting. So it was up to the individual teams to try and get something out of the game. And I think they both tried hard in the first half. I mean, Palace did okay. They had a lot of the ball. They were probing quite a lot around the edge of the box. They won quite a few free kicks and corners, and we defended pretty well, to be fair. But we didn't quite have that cutting edge, did we, today? And I agree with you, Coutinho. I think that there's, you know, he's having a little bit of criticism, which is blows my mind, you know. And I think the reason people are criticising him a little bit is because they see his output as goals and assists, which is obviously his bread and butter. He's a number 10. That's what he's in the team for. But I agree with you and Ryan, what Ryan said as well on the fan cam, that his all-round game is phenomenal. He wants the ball. He always wants the ball. He always puts himself in a position to receive the ball. He's always looking around him for people to run off him. He's always looking for that killer ball. And it might not always come off, but even if it's 10 seconds later, he'll say, give me back in. I'll have another go. He goes left and right. You know, he's constantly trying to find little gaps, pockets. You know, where I sit in the Trinity towards the sort of dugout side and the tunnel side, you know, in that area there, you know, with him and Luca Dean and Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings, that they're constantly doing triangles all the time to try and get on the ball and try and create things. And to have a player like that who just wants that ball, he craves the ball all the time. He's not going to create things all the time, but you know, he's still settling into the side. I think with better players around him and a good summer behind them all, I think he'll only get better. I agree with you as well on the width issue. Weirdly, it really clicked in the last 5 minutes of normal time, didn't it, where we looked really good. And by then, he'd taken Danny Ings off. He brought Emi Buendia on. And from where I was looking, it definitely looked like a shift in formation, because Palace, looking at their formation, they've played 4-2-3-1. And by that point, I think we were playing 4-2-3-1 because McGinn and Luiz were sitting. And then you had Ramsey, Coutinho and Buendia playing behind Ollie Watkins. And the game opened up, didn't it, the last 5 minutes? We looked like the team that was going to go on and win it. And we did create quite a few good chances in that last 10-minute spell. We was unlucky, really. I think Ollie Watkins had that one when he was put clean through. He should have done better with, and a couple of scrambled efforts in the box. But there's lots to work on, isn't there? And there's lots of positives, and there's lots of things to look forward to next season. It was a bit of a shame today that we couldn't get over the line, but ultimately, in the bigger scheme of things, at that point, you know, we might finish one extra place higher, I suppose, if we'd got the three. But you know, it's horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what I like about Coutinho as well is it's ticking over. I feel like, you know, when he keeps passing it, giving and going, and he wants to keep the whole thing just moving and our shape just moving across the pitch as well. And that's what I felt like he especially did pretty good at. And I was listening to the commentary of the Spurs and Burnley, you know, the build up on TalkSport before the game. And there was one... I think it was a former striker. I can't think who it was now. But they basically were saying that coming off the back of a difficult game like Spurs and Arsenal, it's the first like 20, 25 minutes where if you're not at it, you're not getting your legs working and it takes its toll. And he said the more that once you come off the back of a tough game, the more towards the end you start get going again. And
yeah,
and you're right in what you're saying, like, towards the end, we were starting to like get a bit ahead of steam again, weren't we? But you know, our season ain't going to be defined on a 1-1 at home against Crystal.
No,
really,
and not with a game, not with one game left. You know,
it's... no. And what I would like to see a little bit more of at home as well is just keep the ball for longer periods. Like, I don't know about you, Justin, but there's a lot of groans when that ball starts getting knocked between the back and then it goes back to Martinez. Mm. You hear the groans and I'm like, that's okay. Just let
it. I don't mind it. Yeah, I don't mind it.
You've got to reset. And when you reset, you can start working your openings. What happens 9 times out of 10 with Villa is instead of going backwards, we try and go forwards. We play a through ball that just gets cut out by the opposition and then we're under pressure again. That is what I don't like to see from us at the minute. I want to see us keep the ball. And if it means going backwards and sideways a bit, then so be it. Because if we do want to be a possession-based football team, that's what we've got to do. What are you saying?
I think you've got to be brave enough to try things when you're going forward, but also brave enough to keep the ball. When, like you're saying, when fans are sort of baying for that killer pass or that oh, look at that long ball that's on. The long balls are always like they're 50-50 passes, aren't they? Unless somebody's in acres of space that when you can just put it in beyond the defender, you know, a long ball into somebody like Ollie Watkins when he's got two defenders on him, you're going to lose possession of it. And it's fine occasionally if you've got nothing on to go long, that's no problem. But like you say, if we want to be a possession based side, then, you know, look at the best teams ever in the world, you know, the Brazil side from the 70s, the Barcelona side of the Messi, Xavi, and Iniesta era. And even, dare I say, the Man City side under Pep. Yes, they do bore you to death sometimes and they take it to the extreme. But you keep the ball and the opposition can't hurt you, can you? That's a basic, simple fact of football, isn't it? And the longer we can keep the ball in areas, not so much sort of the back third, the final third, but in their final third, then the better we're going to be. And if you're probing left and right, looking for that opening, then a team eventually is going to make a mistake or somebody's not going to track a runner. Or if you've got good footballers in your team and the likes of Buendia and Coutinho who can pick passes out, then you're only going to pick teams apart eventually and you're going to wear a team down. So, yeah, I think that, you know, there's lots of things to work on. And Gerrard's formation is starting to creep through now. The way he wants to play is starting to seep into them. The last 5 or 6 games, we've seen an improvement, I think, in what we've seen before. I think defensive stats are very good. The clean sheet stats are very good. They're better than I, to be honest, thought they would be. If you'd have said to me before I saw them, I wouldn't have said they were as good as they were. But, you know, that's a real positive that we're keeping lots of clean sheets and we're defending better. If we can just sort the forwards out, which, you know, We're that close, aren't we? You know, today, like you said, Danny Ings has had two efforts in the first half, and he puts, I think if he puts either of them on target, he scores. And then the Watkins chance at the end. So we are creating chances, and we've got players that can exploit teams. We're just getting it to come together consistently, game in, game out, and that hopefully what's what will come next season with a good pre-season and three or four better players, you know, in key positions that we're craving.
Yeah, so right, we'll end that one there then about the game. To be fair, there's a big one next Sunday, ain't there? There's a big one.
There is now, isn't after that result.
We are heavily involved in this title race. So that's going to be fun.
Previewing, I suppose, does it depend on what happens to Liverpool in the week?
Yeah, I think
how big a game that is. They are what they're, they're 4 points behind now. So Liverpool don't get anything on against Southampton on the 17th, yeah. then it's over anyway. So I mean, hopefully Liverpool can
battle Southampton. Southampton are in woeful form, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Liverpool needs to win about 6-0. So I think that lad who runs the 9-0 Southampton Twitter feed might be in trouble
again.
What
are your thoughts then on today's results down the bottom? Do you think it's changed for you?
I think I said it on the podcast. I don't think Burnley, before today, I said I didn't think Burnley would win another game this season. And I hate to say it, I stand by it. I think we're going to beat him Thursday. And I think it was, I said, if Leeds can get anything in their final games, then it might be enough for him. And that point at the end today could be absolutely massive for them. I mean, they go away to Brentford next to who apparently they got a bit of needle with, so they might not get nothing there. So it's down to Burnley, I think, now to get something out of either us or that last home game against Newcastle, which is going to be unbelievable. It is, 100%. You know, I think if you told them now that if they won that last game of the season at home, they would stay up, then you'd have to take it, wouldn't you? The position they were in, 10 games ago. Yeah. Yeah, to win last game of the season start, which I think will probably be the case. I think Leeds will get beat last game of the season. It's just whether now, I think, would a point keep them up? Is their goal difference better? Yeah, it is, yeah. So, realistically, I don't think Leeds are going to win the last game. I think Burnley have got to get at least a point out of one of their last two games to stay up. Everton, what a result that was.
I know, yeah.
Sending off after sending off. So, it's very interesting down the bottom, isn't it?
Cool. Well, we'll be back. We've got an episode coming out Tuesday. So we've got a special guest on Tuesday. Really looking forward to this one. So we're previewing Burnley. And it's our final week of the... What season?
Can't believe it, can you?
22 season, so...
Season gone.
Yeah. Enjoy the match reaction, previews, fan cams, because after this, we've got a little bit of a break. We've got plenty of content coming anyway, so... we'll keep you all entertained. But speak to you all soon then. And up the Villa.
Up the Villa.